Welcome to the Victory XR Show. We are excited to have you here today, and we are even more excited about our guest, Dr. Shannon Putman. And Dr. Putman, or Shannon as we will call her, is not only a pioneer in the field of XR in education, but really is one of those people that when I talk to leaders in the industry, they refer to her as someone who's really been the early entrepreneur, innovator in the space of actually deploying VR headsets and software and education solutions into school districts. And so, you know, I think there's a lot that we can learn from her today. We will take off on our 30 minutes here with you. And I should also say that Dr. Putman is now a consultant with, I believe it's Putman XR. So you can correct me on that, but welcome to the Victory XR Show, Shannon.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute honor, and I am thrilled to be here.
And you are from Kentucky, and you
Nope, I'm from Syracuse, New York.
That's what I knew. you really did the major part of your innovation in the state of Kentucky.
Yes. Yep. That I always joke. I don't claim Kentucky, but I do claim Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, clearly it's been a good marriage between the state and yourself. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how did you get into virtual reality education? How did that occur?
Yeah, so I ended up in Kentucky. My undergrad was not in education. And so when I moved to Kentucky, I was like, well, what am I going to do now? I guess I'll just be a teacher. And Jefferson County Public Schools, JCPS here in Louisville, they saw I was going to be a substitute teacher, and they saw that I had American Sign Language experience. And they were like, hey, would you like to interview to be an assistant in a new special ed class? And I was like, sure, it's, you know, benefits, everything. And within 3 days of starting the job, I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And so I went back to the University of Louisville and got my master's in special ed. And with that class, it just led me to technology because I taught what was called the multimodal communication classroom. So it was students who had problems orally communicating. And so we used all different things, technology, everything. And so I was always using tech to give my students accessibility and representation in different instances where they were typically the last people to be included. And that just led me right into VR.
Yeah, and you know, clearly my background coming from state policymaking, special education, those classes, while I was chair of the House Education Committee, were being filled up more and more each year, and it was more and more expensive for the state, and it just seemed like we were at a place where people didn't have a lot of great solutions. And frankly, I had the opinion that a lot of times kids got into these got tracked into special education, and I know that's changed, but and then they would just sort of stall out. So finding those sorts of solutions, very important. And so about what year is this that you are in education and now you're looking for new solutions?
I started VR about 10 years ago, a little bit more, when Oculus had just come out with their developmental kit 2. So they hadn't been, you know, they hadn't had that consumer version out yet. So it was just wired to the computer and didn't have any audio, but it was still already amazing. And the story that I tell is what hooked me in it was that every year I would ask my parents what's a goal they had for the school year. And because I had the kids for 6 years, you know, because we were a self-contained class and it didn't have to be educational. And I had a mom through tears tell me they just wanted to go out to eat because their daughter did not have autism and their son did. And it was too overwhelming for him. And so I had just gotten my DK2 kit and I was like, well, I got this thing. Let me give it a shot. And so I went out to the O'Charlie's, the local restaurant, and they had a free pie Wednesday, and it was, man, it was hopping. And I filmed in 360, and they were great. The manager is fantastic. The servers, other people, everything. And then I worked with him, and he had to make it 60 seconds more every day. And after about 6 months, he made it an hour and 13 minutes in the restaurant. So from that moment on, I was like, yep. and I've banked my entire career and education on it since.
Wow. That is a great story. That is, you know, you think about what are the use cases, and you know, as you and I both know, 360 video is not the top of the food chain when it comes to virtual reality, but it has so many practical use cases. It's more approachable, it's more affordable to create. So that I, you know, I talked with a professor of education at Northern Illinois University, and he took a 360 camera, put it in the middle of a gym class with children, and then put the students, the future gym teachers, in headsets, and now they had to deal with the fact that they don't have eyes in the back of their head. You know, you could never do that with a 2D 180 view of a gym class, but now they've got to learn, they've got to keep looking around, and so there's so many great use cases. I love to hear that. So you had this success in, you know, I'm guessing this is like roughly 2014 or so, mm-hmm. something like that, because the consumer version came out in 2016.
Yeah.
So you have this success. You must have talked about it. People must have heard about it.
Not as many as you would think, but I was lucky at the time. I had a our elementary was a partnership school with the University of Louisville. And so with that came a grant. And so we got a certain amount of money. And I had a principal who he listened to me, which was great because I knew how to make him look good. And I was like, look, you know, I can do this. And he's like, I don't get it, but I trust you. And so I started with one wired Oculus to a computer and went from there. And I even, you know, had a pulley system, so the cable was up and everything. And then I went and we got 50 Oculus Go's. And I managed 50 headsets by myself with no management software system. So I tell the teachers now how spoiled they are in the best of ways, because I would load up my dogs and my husband on Sunday and go put every headset on and update them and do everything. And then we went to Vive Focus Plus, and then I opened up the first VR lab in an elementary school in Kentucky, and then just kept going. When the standalone came out, that really changed the game for education. And I really loved the Go as well when we went to the 3DoF and then the 6DoF, because it took us from Google Expeditions, which was fantastic because it got it started. And it had great things, and it also set up some kind of false narratives, I think, but it got us started. But we've now gone from being a passive observer to an active participant. And that's when the real magic I saw kind of took off with VR widespread.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Oculus Go, I think, was like 2018, something like that.
And I think so it was around there.
You are progressing through this whole cycle. You know, you had the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive Pro, I think, came out in 16. And so, I mean, none of this that you just spoke about, I mean, you spoke about it very quickly, very, you know, nonchalantly, but none of that's cheap or easy when you're the first. Mm-hmm. A lot easier today, as you mentioned, but how did you, how did you persuade administrators to come on board and get funding?
So I don't say this lightly, and if he ever hears it, he'll probably disagree with me, but my principal was the most narcissistic person I've ever met. And I literally just told him, this is going to make you look so good. And I told him different ways of how it'd make him look good. So that got my initial funding, because I knew if I could get it, because I knew I was right. I knew the power it had. So if I could get it and then prove it, then it would come, you know, for others. And so I did it. And then when U of L saw the success that we were having at my school, they were like, hey, we have other schools. Can you do this at other schools as well? And so then it started to come. And when you can find those initial, you know, find those believers, and for whatever reason, they believe in it. You know, whether it's my only guiding principle is always what's best for students. That's it. But if they believe in it because it's going to make them look good, that's great. That's fine too. No problems. I can work with that because it's going to benefit students. So finding that and then proving it and then just continuing to show the benefits. And the biggest thing about VR and what I continue to preach is that it has to be a part of our instruction. We actually have to change our pedagogy and think differently as teachers, because if we don't, then we're just, it's just going to be another piece of tech on the shelf, and it's going to end up no matter. And I love that Apple's in the game, because it means the tech's here to stay. But no matter what headset comes out, if we don't learn how to use it, it's just going to be sitting there. And so teaching teachers, that's what I was really good at. I could make things fun and I could make education fun. And, you know, I never did things the same way as other teachers. I didn't use a lot of worksheets, that kind of stuff. And VR just fits right into that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. And so, what was it, the school that funded it, or did the school assist you in getting grants?
My principal let me use our entire collaboration budget from the University of Louisville that we got. And I started with, it was $25,000, and he let me run with it. And so I was very fortunate in that respect. And I knew that. But I also, especially being in special education, I also was very good at making things work with just one. So I would tell people I would get one headset over 30 Chromebooks now, you know. So I was really good at working within a budget, and I could make one headset work. It didn't have to be. And where I said Google Expeditions kind of set up a false narrative, I think that was one of them, that teachers felt like they had to have all the kids on at the same time. And, oh, I can see what they're looking at. And I'm like, okay, but why? Why is that important? And so that it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Let's talk about some other use cases that you're seeing out there, because now you are no longer in the classroom day to day. You're now helping other schools. And what is the focus? I mean, I can guess what the focus is, but if you would just go ahead and tell us the focus of your consulting proprietorship.
It really, that's what it is teaching teachers. And I love teachers, but man, we're a group that, you know, is there an app for that? Is there an app for that? And I'm like, there doesn't have to be an app for that. We have what we need, while we are always going to continue to develop more. And there's always a need for specific apps. I'm not saying that at all, but there needs to be a balance. And the example I always give is when I had this second grade teacher, she was like, hey, we're working with money. You got anything with VR? Well, there's no Let's Teach Money VR app, but there is a fishing game called Bait. And every time you catch a fish, guess what? You earn money and you earn stars, and it's a certain weight. And so I was like, I got you. I just whipped off an Excel sheet and the kids came in and they got to play for 30 minutes. They got to fish. You know, these are kids that some of them live 2 miles from the Ohio River and they've never seen it. So they certainly had never been fishing. And so every time they had to, you know, write down how heavy the fish was, how many stars. And then we took a break and we went over it and we talked, and the conversations that we had. And I'm an amazing teacher, but I would have never predicted how rich and where it went. And so we talked about things like estimation, you know, like this fish that you caught was 5 pounds and you got 5 coins. How heavy do you think it would need to be to get you 50 coins? And then we talked about, you know, well, how'd you get the bigger fish? And, you know, a girl said, well, I went in the deeper water. And I'm like, well, why'd you go in the deeper water? Well, the bigger fish are there because it's colder. Why is it colder? Because the sun doesn't reach it. And I never would have predicted that. And then from that, the art teacher made a project out of it, because then the kids got to design their own fish. And then the teacher used it for their writing piece at the end of the year, because in the game you could catch a can and like a soda can, and you didn't get anything for it. And they are like, well, I think you should, because you're cleaning up the environment. So their writing piece was a persuasive letter to the game company to persuade them to add that feature, that as you clean up the environment, you earn more coins.
That's awesome. And so if schools bring you in to provide, you know, teacher instruction, are they able to use their professional development budget to pay to bring you in?
Yeah, they can use pretty much anything, because as a service, I can kind of cover everything, which is nice. That's kind of scary, but fun being your own boss. You know, I can align with who I want to align with and who I believe in. And so, that's one of the ways is that professional development budget. I just met with a school system and they have some social emotional learning type money, you know, from their special ed department, like CTE, career tech ed. I can, you know, those fundings, things like that. There's a lot more out there. And the best thing about VR is it fits in. I say we're only limited by our imagination. So when people say, can we do that in VR? I'm like, yep. It's just how.
That's awesome. And you know, let's talk about hardware a little bit. I know you work with more than one hardware device maker. What are some of your observations about how schools should think about which VR device they should bring in?
So I always tell them that at bare minimum, it needs to be, you know, 6 degrees of freedom, because anything less, I just don't think so. I always say at least have it be 6 degrees of freedom. And then the more we're seeing with pass through is really neat. I think there's some great use cases that I'm doing currently and with the Kentucky School for the Deaf, where students can still see the interpreter, but also still use the headset, things like that. And it all depends on their need and what their goal is. You know, I think hand tracking, eye tracking, all that stuff is neat, but until developers catch up with it, I don't think it's as important. It's kind of like when, you know, 4K TVs came out, like everyone's like, oh, you gotta have 4K, but nobody was filming in 4K, so you couldn't watch anything. It's kind of like that. I tell people not to necessarily be wowed by the equipment. It's what you're using it for.
But before you go on, would you just explain to everybody what you mean when you say sixed off?
Oh yeah. So with the 6 degrees of freedom, that means that I can manipulate my virtual objects on all three planes. I can pitch, roll, and yaw. So anything I can do in the physical world, I can do in the virtual world. And that's very important, because if you're doing things like, I don't know, changing oil in a car and you're practicing it, you need to be able to move your tools exactly how you would. And so if you can't have that functionality, it breaks that presence and your brain no longer thinks it's real. And then that takes down the effectiveness of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's, you know, and sometimes we get caught up in the jargon of what we do, but just for listeners, the early headsets and frankly, still a lot of the lower priced headsets are 3DOF, three degrees of freedom. You can look up, down, turn around, but you can't really move about freely and manipulate objects freely like you would in the real world, just as Dr. Putman explained. So, you know, this we don't see a lot of 3DOF headsets coming out anymore. They're sort of being discontinued, but you know, early on the Quest 1, Quest 2 dominated that market. They came out very affordably. You got the Vive 3, the Pico Neo 3 and 4 are both great headsets. And then most recently, Lenovo, which had been using a 3DOF headset, just came out with their VRX, which is a 6DOF headset. And so we're excited about all of this as it comes to the fore. So Dr. Putman, let's talk a little bit about the challenges of implementation in the classroom and maybe some ways teachers should think about overcoming those challenges.
Yeah, I think we've taken a pretty hard hit recently, you know, especially with COVID and everything and people not understanding what we go through on a daily basis. And the, you know, anybody that's in education, I don't feel is there because they can't do anything else. They're there because they want to be, and we take it home with us, and it's not a 9-to-5 type of job. So we're trying to do everything we can, and we get more and more and more piled on. And so I try to tell them that, yes, there's going to be a learning curve and a little bit of front-loading work that you have to do, but once you understand the tech and know how to use it in your instruction, it's going to make your life easier. And it's going to allow you to kind of multiply yourself so you can have like kind of more of you and be able to do more things and make it more fun. I think that's missing in education now is like, I didn't want to go to school and do sit and get when I was a student. I certainly didn't want to do it as a teacher. So making those authentic engagement opportunities with our students And so if they can get past the initial, well, how do I use it? Or, you know, does there have to be an app for that? Like, get past that and think how they can use it as a tool in their toolkit. It's not going to be used every day, every lesson. I mean, I used it every day because it was one of the best motivators I had had ever. You know, if you want VR, then do your work. If then, it's the most simple concept, but we overthink it a lot of times.
Yeah. So let me go through some of the challenges that we run into. First of all, the most obvious challenge is that, you know, teachers are like any other profession. They exist on a bell curve. And so you've got the early adopters on the far right side, you know, the first standard deviation. You've got still early adopters on the second standard deviation. Most teachers are in that 67% in the middle. How do you find the right, you know, because we've been in situations where it was assigned to a teacher and that almost always leads to failure. What's your process on finding someone that's going to take it and run with it? Or what recommendations do you have for school leadership?
That was definitely hard for me because I was that one that I always focused on the non-believers because I knew I was right. And it was like, you know, banging your head against the wall. And it was like, finally, you know, I listened to people and it was like, all right, stop focusing on them and focus on the believers. And then if the others come around, great. If they don't, there's nothing I can do about it. So finding just a couple champions, you know, just anybody that's willing to give it a shot. I tell people, I'm like, as a teacher, you don't need to be tech savvy. I'm going to teach you all of it. You don't have to, you know, have any of these extra skills. You just have to be willing to give me a little bit of your time and just try it. That's all I'm asking. And usually I can get a couple people. And then once you get a couple, then they start to come around. And that's why I say we want the kids to want to use VR. We want them to have fun. And so it's kind of like the sugary cereal concept. You don't advertise it to the adults. You advertise it to the kids. And then they're in the store throwing the tantrum and they get the cereal. So the more we can have a couple of people that are willing to give it a shot and then the kids wanting it and everything, that's where I've found kind of the magic area.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. And there's never been an instance where students have put on a headset that I have found that they didn't love it. You know, we've run into occasionally the rare instance of a student who just doesn't feel good inside a headset. But for the most part, once they put on that headset, they love it. The challenge then becomes managing the whole process. And, you know, that's where MDM's mobile device management comes in. You know, talk a little bit about the value of mobile device management in the classroom and in schools.
Oh, it's absolutely critical because let's face it, there's not going to be a lot of people, nor would I want to ask a teacher to come in on their Sunday and manage headsets and things like that. So the ability with something like Manage XR to be able to sit at your computer and do everything you need to and have your headsets ready to go when you walk in is absolutely critical. It's not going to happen without it. I don't think so. Being able to also, because teachers are always, you know, like they don't want to give up control. And so allowing them to say, you know, like telling them like, hey, the kids aren't going to be able to get on anything unless an adult makes a mistake or they do some NSA level hacking, you know, because we have these protections in place. And I like that as well. And they're always like, well, I want to be able to see what they're doing. And I'm like, okay, but you're choosing and you're only allowing them to choose things, you know? So like, why is it that you have to, you know, like, so talking through those kind of things with them really helps to kind of alleviate some of those fears.
Yeah. And the two big MDM companies right now are Arbor XR and Manage XR. And I think they both do a great job. And now Quest, Meta, has come out with Quest for Business, which does many of the same things. And so, you know, they are very keen on, you know, having their Quest for Business used, not just in business, but also in schools. And I expect Meta to come out with a Quest for Education version of that to have their own MDM next year as well. So let's wrap this interview up. Let me ask you one more question. If you were sitting in front of an administrator. Let's say that you could sit in front of every administrator in America, and you could tell them one thing to move them in the direction of adopting XR technology in education. What would be that one thing you would explain to them?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would probably ask them, what do you want to be able to do with your kids that you currently cannot? And then when they would answer me, I would tell them how VR can make that possible. And the reason being is because I found that if I try to say, oh, well, you can do this, you can do this, you can do that, like I could talk about VR forever in education because I love it, you know, but it can be overwhelming. So as opposed to me telling them, I ask them what they can't do, and then I give them a solution, and that solution is VR.
Yeah, you know, on that point, one of the things that we emphasize is we have about 150 360 VR field trips around the world that students can take, you know, all the way from the Great Wall of China to Iceland to landing on the beaches at Normandy, taking off from England. It's just a cool way for kids to travel, you know, beyond all the rest of it with chemistry and biology and anatomy, et cetera. So anyway, let me just say thank you, Dr. Putman. Thank you, Shannon, for joining us. We are excited to be working with you, and we look forward to really taking this globally, not just in Kentucky, not just in Iowa, not just in the United States, but everywhere. And so I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, no, thank you. The honor was all mine. I appreciate it. And any chance I get to spread the good word, as they say, and it always goes back to what's best for students. And I just leave it with, I never change the way my kids learn. I change how I teach. And if we can do that, I think we'll start to see a lot of great things happening.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So for all of our listeners, our guests, thank you for joining us again on this episode of the Victory XR Show. Check back next week. We will have another episode. Our goal is to publish 50 episodes this year, and we are well on our way. So remember, if you liked it, please share, please like, please subscribe, and thank you.